she's very croaky. She sort of managed to get about three words out a few minutes ago, but that was about it. So apologies. But she sends her love to everybody and hopes that whatever you're doing today, if you're watching or listening to the commemorations and what is going on radio and television, that obviously it will bring back lots of memories to you.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover.
10 years ago, I was there in Aramont in France, witnessing a lot of our veterans from Folkestone and Canterbury heading back to the beaches and joining us on Gold Beach there near Aramont. And there was a real sense that was for many the last time. And in fact, this time, not so many from Kent have been able to journey over. And some, of course, are no longer with us, Virginia.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's Tempest Fugit, isn't it? And I think we're very lucky to have the veterans that we still do have. Another reason my mother thinks today is so important is that we're commemorating D-Day, yes, but we're also commemorating all veterans, past and present. Wars are still going on, unfortunately. And it's very important that she feels, as we all do, that nobody is forgotten, to remember the people that fought for us and are still fighting for us.
The affection as well that those veterans who are still with us have for your mother just continues to this day, that she was such an important part of their lives, and the morale, of course, that she gave to them. And there's always interesting stories. I heard her recently talking about initially going out and entertaining the troops, you know, let's go out in a ball gown. That had to change very quickly because the ball gown got a bit grubby.
Yes, well, not only that, but it was so hot and, you know, perspiration was such that it was impossible. You know, you could actually see apparently right through it, but the chaps that were watching were too gentlemanly at that time to actually say anything. So she gave up on that. It didn't protect her much either from the mosquitoes, so they used to insist that she went round in her, you know, shorts and long socks or whatever it was and long sleeves so that she didn't get bitten.
Dame Vera is your mum. So what's it been like over the years for you? 90 years of showbiz this year well for your mum. Incredible. What's it been like?
Well, wonderful, really. You know, I'm often asked this, but of course, when you've grown up and were born into this type of business, it's always been there. So you don't really know anything else. But obviously, the older you get, I think you appreciate the extent to which she's loved and thought about. You appreciate that more, and you realise how much she did mean to people in those days, and in fact still does.
Her singing voice and the way that she brought those songs to soldiers on front lines and in camps and in staging points, and hearing that music in cafes, whether here or abroad, has been very important. This week, the release of Vera Lynn National Treasure, 2-CD collection. Those pieces of music were so important, but you've very much recently at the heart of that, because it's got some previously unreleased tracks on there discovered by you.
Yes, absolutely right. My husband and I were going through. Andrew Dalton from Decca came down 2 or 3 years ago and found to archive the music, the records. And my husband and I had started to go through archives ourselves. And when he came back to do some more, he found some that he hadn't found before and others that he had. But we were able to present him with these four records that he hadn't found and that we had found right at the back of the archives, which, of course, had never been released.
Tell us about those songs.
It was interesting, actually, because when Christopher Robin is saying his prayer, that's 1941, that was an unissued take.
The boy kneels at the foot of the bed.
A child's prayer, a little bit of heaven, believe me, all those endearing young charms, which I think has Irish background. They were 1939 and 44. Just a baby's prayer at twilight, for some reason, was released in the US only. We don't know why in 1942. The only reason they hadn't been released is because at that particular time, because as you probably are aware now, the charts actually started in 1940, not 1952. And on January the 1st, 1940, she was number one with We'll Meet Again, and she had six records in the top 10. And so because there was such an outpouring, if you like, at that time, there wasn't any room to actually release any more records.
In conversations that you've had with your mum over the years, and particularly today, thinking about the D-Day commemorations, what's the one thing she says to you about what that whole period means to her?
It was extremely important because, as far as she was concerned, that was her job in life, to make life as happy as possible and to bring people together. And as far as she was concerned, that was her job. That was her war effort, if you like, to make sure that as many people stayed in touch with each other, you know, at home and abroad, as possible. And that's what she felt was her job. That was her war effort job. That's what she had to do.
With her 97 years this year, can you wish her all the best from us here at BBC Radio Kent? And I'm sure for many of the veterans who are in Kent today, but thinking of what happened over there.
And she sends her love to everybody who's listening and wishes everybody well.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear. We must part. Don't let this parting upset you. Not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some.